1220 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks. President Biden's primetime speech tonight will address not one, but two wars. CBS's Ed O'Keefe has a preview.
The White House says the president's speech tonight is designed to lay out how the U.S. will respond to the Hamas attacks on Israel and to the continuing war in Ukraine. CBS News has learned the White House is preparing to ask Congress for roughly $100 billion over the next year, and that would include ensuring Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system is fully supplied.
Another $60 billion would go to Ukraine. Meantime, aid for people in Gaza is currently on standby. Mohan Sarhans with the Egyptian Food Bank.
At the border, there are around 120 trucks stationed there, and then you have also around 7 to 8 cargo planes load of supplies.
But there is concern Hamas could steal it all. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
The Israelis have very serious concerns about the diversion of humanitarian assistance. They're worried that assistance that goes in will be diverted to Hamas. We are working out an agreement to ensure that, any deliveries can be handled appropriately.
The U.S. is also working to free 203 people held hostage by Hamas, including Americans. Authorities are stepping up security at religious institutions. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
The entire Justice Department remains vigilant in our efforts to identify and respond to hate crimes, threats of violence, or related incidents, with particular attention to threats to faith communities.
Anti-Semitic attacks have spiked dramatically since this war started. Kevin McCarthy says the House could put speaker elections aside for a while and elevate temporary speaker Patrick McHenry to get back to work.
There was a debate in there. Should we allow McHenry to have that power so we can deal with Israel and others and keep things working? I know the Democrats tried to make some legal thing against it. And that's the discussion we're having in there.
Jim Jordan's not giving up his bid, though. He just wouldn't push for another vote till early January. Another U.S. journalist has been detained in Russia.
I'm Vicky Barker at the Foreign Desk in London. Alsu Kermasheva, a Russian-American journalist working for Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, has been charged with failing to register as a foreign agent, a term which carries connotations of espionage. The Prague-based journalist had flown to Russia for a family emergency in May. Her Russian and American passports were confiscated when she tried to fly home again in early June.
It's a busy day on the railway for Thomas and Friends.
Fisher-Price is recalling about 21,000 Thomas and Friends train car toys due to a choking hazard. There's a small plastic piece with a strong magnet inside that can come apart and choke a child if it's swallowed. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis.
Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on Wisc Country 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with
more Garth, more Reba, Winona.
Yeah, but also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn.
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn.
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth. More Reba.
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, Wisc Country.
Winona.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Friday, October 20th. The Fall Legislative Breakfast will be held from 7 to 9 a.m. at Mid-State Technical College. School board members, local leaders, and community members will hear an update from legislators and local community official representatives. The Wood County Unit of the Wisconsin Towns Association will meet at 7 p.m. at the Town of Wood Town Hall in Pittsville. In Adams County, the Ethics Board will meet from 9 to 10 a.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. The Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market begins this Saturday. It's held in the Moravian Church basement from 9 to 2 at 310 First Avenue South. Find fall favorites, bakery goods, microgreens, and more at the Winter Farmers Market. The ODC Free Haunted House is this Friday and Saturday in Wisconsin Rapids. Tours run from 6 to 9:30 both evenings. This event is family-friendly and wheelchair accessible. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows level off around 46. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 60. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers 43. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 52.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 19th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Matt Lippert, Ag Agent with UW Extension. Looking forward to talk with Matt. Looking forward to talk with these two ladies. We have two of our great friends in right now from Visit Rome. We have Lisa Kubis in, Executive Director. Lisa, good to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you, James.
Thanks for being us. Yeah, appreciate you. And Jillian.
I was going to say, you were getting really close.
I was getting there.
Yeah.
But thank you for being here, Jill.
Yeah,
we appreciate
thanks
you.
Thanks for having us.
Marketing and events coordinator. And we're talking Rome now. And you guys know how much I love talking about the Rome area. And in our pregame, I was looking for an excuse to talk about Rome, but we were just getting into it. Before we dive into our wonderful list of events going on in the Rome area, I do want to remind people to check out the website, bookmark it, visitromewi.com. visitromewi.com. You go there, one of the first things that's going to pop up is an opportunity to win a snow dog.
Yeah.
So get on over there, do that, everybody. I know I would not mind having one of those. It seems pretty cool. And encourage you to sign up for the newsletter. Even before you guys came in today, I had a new newsletter from you guys, and I was able to look at some of the things we were going to be talking about today and do some homework. Encourage people to sign up for that newsletter. So let's dive into things, and we've got a great one to start off with, the Rome Scare Rome Walk. God, I love that name.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that name.
Yeah, so the Scare Chrome, or whatever, walk at the Lester Public Library has been going on for a majority of this month, and it'll wrap up this Saturday. I don't remember if it's 13 or 14 scarecrows that they have set up out there. But feel free to visit behind the library, walk along the path to just see what a bunch of area businesses and organizations have made of their scarecrows.
Yeah.
We have one out there.
Cool.
Obviously.
Yeah.
A little shameless plug.
Yeah, nice. No, get it in. I'm all for shameless plugs. I'm all for them. You can vote on these?
Yes, you can vote for your favorite by visiting the public or Lester Public Library during operating hours and casting your vote.
Cool.
So you get one free vote, and then you can get an additional vote for each item you bring to donate for the Adams County Food Pantry.
Any opportunity to have these events where we're helping people with food, we're helping hunger, you got to love those. And I love the tie-in to make it fun and make and bring people into doing this kind of thing. That's a wonderful idea. Our organizations and nonprofits are so good at this. Hey, we could use non-perishable food items. Let's find a fun way to do it. And it's a win-win for those people in need as well as the community having fun with something. I'll admit I'm a little biased. My first nickname was Scarecrow, so I like. I'm a big Scarecrow guy.
Yeah.
Big fan of him. I also happen to look like a Scarecrow, so I'm a little biased. A little biased about this, but I love the name. I love the intent. And is this the first year this has been done?
Yeah, this is the first year.
So how it does, you know, can give us a good idea of maybe if we bring it back next year.
Yeah.
I'm for one really like to see this again next year. So let's make sure to give them a good turnout, get some good votes in there, and of course bring a non-perishable food item. So you can vote twice. You can get two votes in there.
That's a pretty cool idea. And there's somebody wins something for this too.
Yeah. So the winner gets $50 cash. Nice. Second place is $25. Third place is $10.
That is pretty cool. So, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Especially as we're getting into the holiday season, every penny counts. Yeah, seems pretty cool. That's a pretty cool one right there. And again, that is wrapping up on October 21st?
Yes.
Okay, so you still got a day or two yet to get down there and get voting in. Coming up on Saturday, October 21st, got a really big one going on in the area as well.
Yeah, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Nakusa Community Center will be the Fall Shopping Extravaganza. So the Rome Farmers Market has been over, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, yeah.
This is almost kind of like a mini Rome Farmers Market because a lot of the same vendors that you'd see there are going to be at this one. All proceeds from the event will assist families in need for the upcoming holidays. There will be over 25-plus vendors in attendance. Mm-hmm. So if you're a fan of farmers markets or craft fairs, this is a great event to go to.
It's something, too, that the part you mentioned there about the proceeds. Oftentimes, the vendors, the people that are working these things are, you know, seasonal. They're making seasonal paychecks, and they're trying to keep that money. That's their nest egg for the winter. So being able to help out these vendors and you buy from them is helping not only our local vendors and our sometimes our ag industry and everything, but it's also getting some more unique items, getting things. You know, one of the last chances you might have to get some of these items before Christmas and that. So that's something else to keep in mind, too. I don't know anybody alive that wouldn't mind getting a little bit of their Christmas shopping done right now. Having that box checked off, that seems pretty good. By October, you've got half your Christmas list done or something. Man, that seems like a dream. I like that. My Nana was really good at that. She's master at that kind of thing. So here's another opportunity to maybe get some items checked off that list. Also going on the 21st and the 28th, we were just touching on this in our morning show. One of my favorite events in this whole state, let alone in central Wisconsin here, the Historic Point Bosses Spirit Walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great, great event going on from 6 to 8:30. It's a lantern lit tour around the grounds and buildings of the complex. We'll give the visitor a chance to meet many of the former residents of Point Boss and the citizens of the era. As you walk the site, the spirits will emerge from their surroundings to tell you about themselves and the time in which they lived. So adults are $5. Students are $2. Historicpointboss.com is where you'd find out more information, as well as it's a great website.
Yeah.
They have so many events going on in the area.
You can find out more too if you'd like to go back into our archives, listen to our Midday Magazine show here. Last week we had Mike and the gang joining us to talk about this, and had a great conversation with them if you'd like more information on it. Also, the website is a great one. Also, even if you don't have the information, go. I promise you, you're going to have a good time. And I don't use the P word unless I can back it up. And I promise you are going to have a good time. They keep history alive over there. History comes to life over there. When you are a part of events over there at the Historic Point Boss, you are helping them keep history alive. You're helping keep such an integral part of all of our communities going. That part is pretty cool. But then there's the part of this that I think is so masterfully done. You are combining two of my favorite worlds, history and acting. I'm all in on that. You have some of our great local actors. I know a couple of them, like Mike Egrin and Steve Martin, who are two of the finer actors I've ever worked with. And they are down there every year performing at this event. You have some fun there with it. It's not scary. It's not, you know, jump scare kind of scary or nothing like that. What it is I think the scary part comes in the perspective. The idea of, wow, this is how people lived. Wow, this was what it used to be like. Mm-hmm. And it gives you some perspective, not only of how much better we might have, or, you know, you might look at it that we have it now, but it also gives you a little bit of pride in your area. Like, wow, these are my people. These are the trailblazers that why I'm here today. It's such a fun event. And again, when you're a part of these events, you're able to help them keep the great work that they're doing over there at the Historic Point Boss going. So I encourage you to check this out. The Spirit Walk going on two weekends, October 21st. And the 28th from 6 to 8. I would get there, especially if you're getting in there a little bit late. I wouldn't get there too late because that they kind of have tours that they do here, and they kind of go gauge how many people they got per tour. So you want to get there early if you can, and I wouldn't push it too late. Otherwise, you might not get a chance to jump in on this and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, although, when you're waiting, you're just sitting there drinking cider by a fire. So that part's nice, too. That's just nice. It's a beautiful area over there, too.
It is.
Wednesday, October 25th, and every Wednesday, a really cool opportunity for families.
Yeah. That is Children's Storytime at Leicester Public Library of Rome, 10:30 to 11 a.m. Join us for a weekly story time open to kids of all ages. Each interactive story time will feature a different set of books read by library staff and community members.
Mm-hmm. It's especially as we get closer to the colder months and everything, looking for opportunities to do things with the kids or things mm-hmm. with your family. Here's a great one. And I wish we had more and more of these kind of opportunities of people reading the kids. And we've got quite a few of them in our area. United Way has some and some other events that go on with our libraries. But this is a special one and that it's a set time and it's something you can mark your calendar to and make plans to do with the kids. It's a fun event. Wednesday, October 25th, and every Wednesday also, DJ Trivia.
Yep, at Hoozles at the Lakes from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Always free, always fun, gift cards for first through third place. Even if you haven't done trivia before, just come on out and try it out. It'll be fun.
They have so much fun with this.
Yeah.
The DJ does a great job of hosting it. And again, what I was saying about looking for opportunities for things to do with the family, same thing with you and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're also going to be looking for things to do as the winter months come in. And having something like this, it's a nice one to look forward to. It's something to do with friends. And it's Hoozles. I mean, you had me at Hoozles, honestly.
Yeah.
We're testing water at Hoozles. Okay, fine. Sounds good. Hoozles is awesome. You can't have a bad time.
Yeah.
Another event that comes up on Fridays by DJ Trivia and DJ Bingo at that point, and also at Hoozles.
Yeah, so Friday, October 27th, and every other Friday from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. will be DJ Bingo at Hoozles. Once again, free to play. There will be raffles and just all around fun.
Mm-hmm. Very similar to the trivia night that Lucas does. And Lucas, shout out to him. He does a great job with these things. It's not an easy gig. I think he does a really nice job with them. He makes sure that you're having fun with these events.
Yes. Yeah.
Even if you're just showing up and you want to check things out first before you jump into bingo or trivia, you can go ahead and go down there, have yourself a drink, and see how the event goes. I almost promise you, you're going to be jumping in immediately. Before you even finish your beer, you're going to be jumping in on these. It's a lot of fun, and again, something to do as the winter months come in. It's nice to have some something to look forward to. I've always wanted to do one of these, and I'm so excited that it's like right around the corner, and it's like five blocks from me. It's not even that far from not five blocks, but it's not that far from me. The murder mystery at the Lakes Inn.
Yeah.
Ooh, this sounds great. Ooh, what is this?
Yeah, this is their first annual Murder at the Lakes Inn. It's an interactive event hosted by professional improv actors. This is an event that you stay overnight, so you book your room.
Mm.
So it includes your room, admission for two, dinner at Avocados, or it's going to be catered by Avocados, and spirits by Cal's Corner will be provided.
Nice.
So come and book a night at the Lakes Inn. They still have a few rooms available.
Cool.
The murder mystery will take place from 6 to 10 p.m.
It's a fun one. You're going to get, for doing this, you'll get some souvenir cups and prizes. That's a fun part of it. People love that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what a wonderful idea. I've heard of murder mysteries before. You show up for some of those and they're a couple of hours. Or the dinner murder mystery kind of thing where you have dinner and that. I love the idea of it being overnight. I like the idea of the being able to relax and enjoy the night and know that you don't have to drive home or anything. And that's kind of set up. It's a really fun idea. I cannot tell you how interested I am in something like this, but I am not alone. I just happened to mention to a couple of people a day or two about this, and just to kind of feel out, see what people would think, because it's a fresh idea. It's something different. Boy, the way their eyes lit up. I only talked about three different people about it, but each one of them, eyes lit up right away. Ooh, what's this? Tell me more about it and everything. I had to actually memorize the website name just so I could give them the information. It sounds like a really fun idea. Encourage people to check this out. The very next day, Saturday, October 28th, Kids Halloween Party in Rome.
Yeah.
Journalistically, I should mention that my sister and I enjoyed this every year we lived in Rome. So we are biased about this one. Love this event. Love, love, love this event.
Mm-hmm. So noon to 3 p.m. will be the Kids Halloween Party in the Rome Town Center Business Park. A lot of names, same place.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a candy handout, photo booth in the gazebo, balloon animals, which is a new addition this year.
Cool.
We're going to have a wizard walking around handing out Halloween beads, I believe.
Nice. Very cool.
And it's sure to be spooktacular.
Yes, it will. I know that when I was a kid and my nan and papa, my grandparents would take my sister and I to it, it was because where we lived right off of Lake Camelot, there weren't a lot of houses. And even there was a lot of snowbirds around there and that. So trick-or-treating was pretty, there weren't a lot of whole houses to go to or anything. Like one house way down there or something. I understand it might be a little bit different in Rome now. We've got a lot more people living over there, and that's a good thing. But that part hasn't changed as much as parents or families wanting to take their kids to somewhere safe and somewhere that they feel secure. They feel good about not only taking their kids there and their kids having a good time, but the candy they're getting and that. I don't begrudge anybody that in today's day and age.
Yeah.
Here is that event. This is, to me, one of the signature events in this area when it comes to something like that. We got a lot of places hosting Halloween events for kids, and I encourage people to check out all of them. This one, I happen to know for a fact, is very, very not only fun and safe, but great for the whole family.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a fun event. Be sure to check that out, everybody. Going on that weekend as well, a great event over at Sandhill.
Yeah, Sandhill Wildlife Area. As their name implies, they're Sandhill Cranes. Mm-hmm. It's the home of many of Sandhill Cranes. Join the friends of Sandhill to witness the spectacular showing of thousands of cranes coming to roost on the Gallagher Marsh. So there will be a drive and then a hike near the marsh to the viewing area. Mm. So this is happening from 3 to 6 p.m. and pre-registration is required before October 24th.
Mm-hmm. I recently, about a month ago, spent some time at the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there. I was curious. I wanted to check it out. I thought it'd be interesting. I did not realize that how much of spending so much time in the Rome area and learning about cranes there, how much it would help me go into the crane veteries. It was really cool. I encourage people to check that out, the one in Baraboo. That is fantastic. And especially checking out something like this that's right in your neighborhood, right in your neck of the woods. These are some of the more beautiful animals that you can learn about and know about. I could not tell you how much I enjoyed not only being in Baraboo and checking out that, but how much it gave me appreciation for what we have in Rome and what we have in this area, that we have so many of these wonderful birds in this area. It's a great event to check out.
Yeah.
Be sure to find out more about that and sign up and register everybody. I see that there is somebody that they can contact, Vicki, if they want more information on this. Vicki, you can reach at 715-652-3131, 652-3131. Halloween ATV UTV ride. That sounds awesome. You have me. I'll sign up right now. That sounds great.
Yeah, our local ATV club, the Monroe Prairie ATV Club, is hosting their Halloween ATV UTV ride. The ride begins at Buskey's Bighorn Bar and Grill. Registration is at 6, with the machines going out from 7 to 10 p.m. There's going to be chili, fire pits. This is going to be a haunted ATV UTV ride.
It's a fun idea.
Yeah, for sure.
And now, everything I was saying about winter coming and we're looking for opportunities to get out there. Winter coming also means all of these get out there. All the ATVs, the UTVs, they get to get out there. They get to have some fun. This is an opportunity to get that ride out there, enjoy, and have a good time with your community. Have a good time with an event. Saturday, October 28th, Halloween costume party at the Lure.
Yes. So I know we talked about the kids' Halloween party a little earlier. This is adults only.
Yeah.
So no kids.
No kids on this one. No kids.
7 p.m. to closing time, basically, on Sunday, will be the Halloween costume party at the Lure. Prizes to be won by best costume. There will be food and drink specials. Music from DJ Mark Cornelius, a.k.a. The Don.
It's a great name. Great name. Prizes to be won, it looks like, for best costume and stuff. We love that. That's always fun as adults. More and more adults have not taken over Halloween or taken it back, but it's 50-50 now. It really is. It's 50-50 between adults and kids on Halloween, and I could not be more of a fan of that. I love that. I think we could do both. I think we can have Halloween for kids as well as have some Halloween for adults. I don't think adults have enough opportunities in life to just let loose and be silly and just be, you know, not be so serious all the time. This is an event for that and having some fun with it at the same time, maybe even winning a prize, not so bad. That's a cool one. Also, as we're wrapping up our events, a really good one coming up on October 29th.
Yeah, so right back at the Lure will be their Trunk or Treat event from 3 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, the 29th. Support kids in the community to have a fun and safe place to trick or treat. Fill your trunks or ATVs with loads of candy to just hand out. Should be fun. If you want an encore of the kids' Halloween party, there it is.
What I like about that, too, is say you aren't able to make some of the other ones.
Yeah.
But there's this one still right there, so you can still make that one. There's enough Halloween parties going on to where every family should, schedule-wise, be able to get one of those in. I think that's a really fun thing about this, too. And if you can get them all in, hey, do it. I mean, it's not like your kids are going, oh, no more candy, please. You're going to enjoy all these events. One of the things that we like to do when we have you guys join us is certainly talking about all these events, letting people know them. It's fun. I've heard from our listeners for years how much they will. There's one lady in particular, she'll go right to her calendar after this. She'll go right to her calendar and literally write them on her calendar. So there's fun with that. But there's also the chance to talk about businesses in the Rome area and celebrate them and give people an update or let them know that said business is coming to town. And there's been one we've been talking about a little bit. Up North Brewery that we really are wanted to highlight and talk about today.
Right. We are so looking forward to the opening of the Up North Brewery. It's been a little delayed in the making, but we're hoping end of the month or beginning of November. If you'd like to follow their progress on Facebook, it's just Up North Brewery Company. So you can stay tuned for their opening day announcement. In the meantime, feel free to take a drive past the building. It's almost complete. Their sign is up, so it's getting really quite exciting.
It's that business in particular is exciting, and I'm wishing them well. Hope to have them on the air with us and talk with them a little bit about it. Brewing in this state, pretty important, pretty big.
Yeah.
So any chance to talk to brewers or new brewers in particular is a fun idea. But I don't say this lightly. It almost doesn't matter to me who the business is or what they're doing. New business in Rome. That is awesome. I don't know for you guys how this is, but I know for me as somebody who's been in this area for so long and comes from a day and age in that area where Rome was always beautiful. Rome had some really nice places, but you had like pretzels.
Yeah.
That was about it. And a shout out to all those longtime businesses out there. I don't mean to make light of any of those or anything, but it's just such a cool thing to me to not only have those businesses, but to have new business happening in that area. It speaks to the people of the area. It speaks to the economy of the area and to a lot of those things. And a rising tide raises all boats. How Rome does is how Rapids and Nacusa and Port Edwards and all these other cities do. We're all connected. It's not as if we only spend our dollars in one town or one area. This bleeds into everything. So if Rome is doing well, that benefits all of us. And these kind of things happening are just another sign of that to me, of like, man, that area is just getting better and better and more beautiful. And I'm so happy for the people of that area and for our whole state, really, especially specifically here in central Wisconsin.
Yeah.
This is a win for all of us. And it's a new brewery to try. That sounds pretty cool, too. That sounds pretty all right, too. That sounds great. We're wishing them well with the opening and looking forward to when that does open. I did want to make sure that we had time to talk about this, too, because I saw this story a little while ago and was so excited to have you guys in to talk about it. The town is getting a bit artsy.
Yes. So I know you mentioned Rome is beautiful. This just adds to the beauty. Our first public works mural or excuse me, completed mural on the Publix Work Building has been completed. So stop by and check it out.
Yeah.
Special thanks to Kiba Freeman and all his talent on this great project. I don't remember the news station, but there was a little blast about it.
I did see it. Yeah, I did see that.
One of the stations out of Wausau.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I'm pretty sure it was Channel 9. Okay. And I say that because it's really the only news station on Wausau. It hadn't been on there. I saw it on there. So, great article, great interview. And I'm glad you shouted him out. A big shout out to him for doing this, Kim. He's putting his heart and soul into all of this. And murals are one of those things we love to see about in a town. I think that you talk to any Nakusa resident, they will tell you right away, going down that main street in Nakusa and seeing that mural on the side is nice. Here in Rapids, we have a couple that are really nice to see. They beautify an area. They also speak to new residents. Any town, whether it's Rome, Rapids, Madison, La Crosse, it doesn't matter. Everybody is looking to bring people, new people into their town, whether it's visiting or living, and certainly looking to keep their residents happy. Well, this is part of that, that this does those things. You might not think that a mural can do all that. It does. Talk to your locals, talk to residents in your area, and you'll see that. So it's a nice addition. It's a nice idea, and a nice of Kibbe to share his skills and his talents with that. As we wrap up, I want to remind everybody to check out more and learn more about Rome by visitromewi.com, visitromewi.com. Otherwise, is there any other way to get in touch with you guys, or we send them to the website? Is that the best way to reach you?
The website, or they could always call us directly at 715-325-3090.
All right. Thank you both so much for the time. Appreciate you. Looking forward to talking again next month and getting people ready for more and more fun events in the Rome area. Thank you both for the time.
Yeah, thank you, James.
Well, we'll come back with more Midday Magazine right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nakusa Port Edwards State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank in Nakusa, Port Edwards, and the town of Rome. Since 1913, they've been helping area communities, businesses, and individuals with their financial needs, and are happy to sponsor these What's Happening in Rome live discussions. Hope you enjoy the updates. Everyone at Nakusa Port Edwards State Bank is proud to be part of these exciting developments in the town of Rome. Remember, when in Rome, bank at Nakusa Port Edwards State Bank. Member Equal Housing Lender, FDIC Insured.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The Wood County Health Department announces a free COVID-19 treatment telehealth program offered to Wisconsinites over age 18. There's no charge to meet with a clinician over a computer, smart device, or phone. If you've tested positive for COVID-19, you can schedule an appointment with a clinician to determine your eligibility for antiviral treatment. You can call 1-833-273-6330. Clinicians are available 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. This program will be available at least through December this year. The River City's Nordic Ski Club is looking for additional volunteers to help maintain the cross-country ski trails at NEPCO Lake County Park this year. You can contact the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department for more information. Reminder that all Wisconsin Rapids park restrooms will close for the season this Sunday, October 22nd. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows level off around 46. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 60. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers 43. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 52.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 19th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We are joined right now by our good friend, Matt Lippert, ag agent with our UW Extension Wood County. Matt, it's been too long. How you been?
Long time no see.
Matt, of course, joining us back-to-back weeks here. I believe that is a record. I don't think anybody's had to put up with me 2 weeks in a row from Extension.
Oh, I haven't.
You haven't, for sure. I do appreciate the time. In all seriousness, thanks for pitch hitting for us, Matt. Thanks for being in. do appreciate any chance to talk ag, especially with somebody who knows what that you do. Somebody actually, not just somebody who knows the industry, but is actually in the industry, is a farmer themselves. We don't get enough opportunities to talk about farming, to talk about the ag industry, which is a little silly when you think about it, considering how vital it is to our everyday commerce and lives. So appreciate the time, Matt, and thank you for your the knowledge that you bring to our conversations and the things that you put up with me that I bring up because I find interesting, because I could not be farther from this world, but I love learning from you and learning more about it. The thing that I came across that I'd like to start with today, if you don't mind, Matt, is this article that I came across from a Wisconsin farmer working to save an endangered cow breed. The Kerry cow comes from Ireland, and there are only a few hundred of them left there. There are only about 45 in North America at all. So there is a young man, J.T. Price, working to grow the population at his farm in Windsor. Milk from most Kerry cows has A2 proteins, which are safe for people with milk protein allergies. This is a pretty special cow. Not that all cows aren't special. We love all cows. But these are a very unique cow. For one, as a city boy, Matt, I will tell you, and I'm going to be honest with the audience about this, I knew that there were different cow breeds. I never thought about the milk being different. Like, it makes perfect sense, of course. If a cow is different, certainly the DNA of a cow is going to make the milk a little bit different. But I thought that was just fascinating. And another part of this that I had not thought much about is farming in Europe. Like, that's got to be a lot of the ancestral work of a lot of the farming we do today in America, I would imagine. So it just got my mind going down a rabbit hole of the connection of European farming and farming here in this country. So if we have a chance, I wouldn't mind touching on that if that's something that you're interested in talking about. But let's focus on the Kerry cow for a second and the different cow species, if you will.
Sure. So there's hundreds of breeds of cattle. We tend to group them into beef cattle and dairy cattle. Mm-hmm. In other countries where they're less mechanized, there'd be draft cattle, right? There'd be cattle that are used to pull wagons and so mm-hmm. forth. And historically, before we've got quite as specialized as we are, there were dual-purpose cattle. There'd be animals that were relatively good milk producers, but had good meat characteristics as well. So they weren't outstanding in either thing. They were kind of across. So mm-hmm. so we have hundreds of breeds, and you talked about history. A lot of them come from Europe. There's a Brahma-type cattle. We see India has tropical countries where there's a lot of heat. There's different genetics there, and mm-hmm. we've developed crosses with those for the southern U.S., maybe just a percentage of them. I think you sprung this on me a little bit. I think they'd mm-hmm. be Boss, that's the genus Indicus, which would be the Brahma type cattle, or there'd be Boss Taurus, which would be mainly the European type cattle. Obviously, we've got this in every phase of agriculture that the commercial produced animals are, it's about 90%, I guess it's maybe not quite, 85% of dairy cattle in the U.S. are Holsteins. So obviously they deliver what modern dairy producers need. You know, we've talked about it's not really easy to be a dairy farmer. It's not like there's a lot of money left over when you're done. So you get pretty particular. So Holsteins are exceedingly good at producing a lot of milk. And so we have basically most of the dairy cattle in the country are Holstein-based. And even there's about World Dairy Expo just got over 2 weeks ago. We have our officially recognized purebred dairy cattle association breeds. And Kerry wouldn't be one of those, right? They'd be trivial enough that they're kind of a breed. They're not just focused on being dairy cows. So we have our Holsteins, exceedingly good milk production, fairly large, so their male offspring, or when you cull a cow, they have some value yet for the beef market. But they're not bred for that, so there's They're too tall a little bit. The muscle structure is the wrong shape a little bit. So they're not like their counterpart in the beef industry would be probably Angus.
Okay.
Angus doesn't have quite the domination in beef, but pretty, I mean, you know that you can buy an Angus burger just about anywhere. So then the other extreme in dairy cattle would be Jerseys. And they're probably taking up maybe not quite 10% of the dairy cattle in the U.S. And they're the opposite of Holsteins. They're pretty small, so it costs less to rear them because they're just smaller frame. Mm-hmm. They're not growing as quite as big of an animal. And they milk quite a bit less, but for their size, they still milk very well. So that's why they're the second most popular breed. And they are really good if you're making cheese or butter because their milk is high in fat and protein, higher than Holsteins. So those have kind of been the two main breeds. Then we see a lot of interest in crossbreeding because you get some hybrid vigor with that. So where does Kerry fit in this? Well, they're a heritage breed. I certainly think the man in Wisconsin that's trying to maintain the breed, that's a noble cause. But, you know, the commercial market isn't really too concerned if Kerry's make it or not.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to touch on with you.
So they're as I understand them, they're pretty small. They're almost like a miniature. And I think a little slower to mature. So if you're trying to be on a farm and you're going to get a yield and also quality of meat or milk as fast as possible, a small, slow maturing creature doesn't do that well.
Yeah.
Now, maybe if you want to be a homesteader and milk your own cow in the backyard and eat lawn clippings, a small cow might be easier for the grandkids to work with. You might not have to buy as much feed or make as much manure. So there's probably a niche for that, but it's not commercial. It doesn't fit in the commercial world.
Yeah. Okay. I'm very, thank you for that, Matt. That was one of the, there was two angles I wanted to go on this. One of them was that the idea of, because we you know, it's no, since I was a kid, I've been hearing that we need more farmers. We need more people in the ag industry. I was curious that if this isn't one of those things that that would work, having smaller farms, having a smaller farm or more condensed farm or more one that is just centered around one particular thing. Now, economically, I don't know how that works. I don't know if it's even possible or anything. But I immediately thought of Ben and Jerry's. One of the Ben and Jerry's, probably the most popular ice cream there is, and they have been for a long time. But they realized some years back, there's a big audience they're not hitting. So they started coming out with like vegan and non-dairy ice cream and those things. Yeah. And boom, their sales go even more through the roof. They're not only not the biggest game, they're the biggest game in the world now when comes in terms of ice cream. Just from
Do you like ice cream?
Yes, I love ice cream. Yes, big ice cream guy. Half my body weight probably is ice cream. Okay. So when it comes to that, I thought, oh, well, here's something that the ag industry might be to me as a layman and completely on the outside of this looking in, like, well, I wonder if this isn't an angle for our farmers, for our ag industry to be able to focus on one particular avenue or to be able to expand your avenue to the, because when I see this cow, I mean, for one, I don't want to see any animal going endangered or lose an animal, but especially when I read that they create a milk that's safe for people with milk protein allergies. If you're in the milk industry, you're a dairy farmer, there's a part of the audience you've never been able to hit.
Have you heard of A2 before?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So it's on the grocery shelf already. You can just about any store nowadays. It started New Zealand, Australia is where the focus on this started. And the contention is that this A1 gene has... And I'm going to say contention because you'll have people argue that none of that is, they'll argue none of that is true. But the A1 gene is, there's these stories that it's a mutation that they can go back to when it started. And it just coincidentally was, it didn't cause the highly productive breeds to be more highly productive. It's it just was in those breeds. And as we've selected, it's come along with the game, and we've had more A1. So I've been hearing about this for 10 or 15 years now, this A1A. Well, it's really very simple to select against. So you know that there's enough A2 in the world that if there's only 45 carry cattle in the U.S. and 200 in Ireland, and still you can go just about any store anywhere and find A2 milk.
Mm-hmm.
There's other cattle that have that trait.
Gotcha.
And you take those big names. So, and I'm going to throw another one in there, Guernsey. Mm. So, but take the Holsteins and Jerseys. It was 10 years ago. It was like, any other breed other than Holstein is better for A2 than Holsteins.
Mm.
And so if you open a sire catalog now, if you wanted to start your herd and make ice cream and sell to the neighbors and say it's A2 milk, you would have to test all your cows and make sure they were homozygous for this A2 gene.
Gotcha.
Okay. And if you had 100 cows just randomly selected, today I would say probably more than half, maybe 3/4 of them would qualify right away. So it's not that rare.
Right.
And what has happened is, since it's just one gene, and it doesn't seem to cause any downside. It's not like, if you select for A2, they milk less.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem that's the thing. Or they're less fertile. Or it just seems to be just along for the ride. It's just there. So rapidly, the genetic offerings that our farmers are using are all A2. So that's not going to save the Kerry breed.
Mm-hmm.
But because Holsteins are rapidly becoming more A2.
Hmm.
Now, any farm that's maybe already using all A2, cows live to be 10 or so. So they're not, you have to be 100% A2 to be certified. Hmm. So a farm that's not actually trying is not going to be there.
Hmm.
But it wouldn't take them, if there was a decree that henceforth all milk should be A2, we could do it pretty fast because we're the market is driven that way already.
Interesting.
Now, I mentioned the word Guernsey.
Yeah.
So you had to go back even before I was born, but that was in central Wisconsin, in many areas, that was the number one breed. We think about how prominent Holsteins are. Holsteins, my grandfather had Holsteins, but a lot of people had Guernseys. And that breed has declined in numbers. It was viable. And it's become less viable. And people hear me say that sometimes and say, well, you just don't like Guernseys, you know. And it's just, I'm just restating the economic reality. They haven't done as well. Well, have you ever heard the brand Golden Guernsey?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. So Guernseys are noted for having more A2 typically than Holsteins, which we already had that discussion.
Yes,
maybe not the case anymore. But there's just a way they process vitamins. I'm challenged to say which one now, but they leave more pigment in their body fat.
Hmm.
So when you have when you handle a Guernsey carcass, instead of having white fat around the muscle, which is what consumers like, it'll be yellowish. So that's like a downside for the Guernseys. When they harvest them and cut them open and they're yellow fat, people don't want that.
Yeah.
But you notice all your butter is yellow.
Yeah.
And we actually, butter is really pure. Butter is, you take whole milk and you basically centrifuge it and you separate out the fat, and the better job you do with that, you get butter.
Hmm.
But if your cows are in nice, lush spring pastures, there's more pigment that they consume, and that fat will have more pigments, and the butter will be yellower.
Hmm.
In the middle of the winter, stored feed, fermented feed, dry feed, grain, Holsteins don't have that pigment conversion going on like the Guernseys. It's pretty white. So actually, most butter you consume is got a little, it's a natural coloring. It's not artificial coloring. It's annatto.
I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah, and so because consumers want it to be yellow.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and we have that with cheese, right? There's you can go to the store and get white cheddar, and you can get yellow cheddar. Hmm. And different parts of the country have preferences, but here in the Midwest, we all thought that cheddar just naturally was yellow. Well, it goes back to historically that that peak most productive time in the pastured cow year would be in the spring when everything was lush, mm-hmm. and everything was a little yellower. So once they figured out consumers like yellow, we'll give them yellow. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But so this Guernsey breed has not developed for various reasons, not as productive as Holsteins. But they are the king of making naturally pigmented butter, milk, dairy products.
Interesting.
So people that want to, I want 10 cows, and I'm going to have my own churn, and I'm going to market my own butter. If they'd call me up, I'd say, maybe you should think about Guernseys. Because the end product they're making, mm-hmm. not saying it's healthier for you or that has more A2 or less A2, I'm just saying it's yellower.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
It's naturally yellower. And so when you're talking about the poor Kerry breed and let's not that go extinct, I was just listening to a man on radio talk about apples. And, you know, every apple seed produces because the bees do their cross-pollination. Mm-hmm. Every apple seed, so when you eat an apple and there's 10 seeds in there, however, every one of them could be the founder of a unique apple variety because they're all genetically different. So there's obviously millions then, right?
Yeah.
So there we can't protect or discover. So how do you get a Macintosh? How do you get a Honeycrisp? Is you have a rootstock, which is developed to be especially good at the rooting part of the apple tree, the winter hardiness, how strong the stem is for wind and so forth. But then you graft on the top the apple variety you get. So that's how all Honeycrisps or Cortlands or Macintoshes are all the same because they're cloned. So the... So they're all, that's how you get that consistency. So we obviously, that's true. Every individual cow is a unique individual, but we kind of have lines that are pretty similar.
Yeah.
So Guernseys are a great example of a line that has been less successful, but maybe its time is coming again because there is interest, as you said, in as some things consolidate, other things, we have more farmers markets than we used to have. We have more discerning, more demanding consumers that don't want generic wholesale Velveeta or or whatever. They want their own kind of artisanal thing. So we got both trends going in agriculture. Let's make the cheese plant bigger, output more, the product more consistent. Let's drive down that cost. We have that. And then we have the other end. Well, James will pay twice as much for that cheese or butter if it's the way he wants it. We got both of those going.
Do both of these things happening, do you think that that helps the industry? That helps our farmers? That these things are going on? And it seems, I'm hearing commerce. I'm hearing, you know, that's what I'm hearing for a lot of this.
Well, it's life. I mean, it's helpful or not, it's the way it is. But yeah, I think certainly I don't think... people were happy with, we have this thing about food, Wonder Bread, you know, it was just whiter than white and softer than soft, and it had nothing in it. And when they invented that shortly after World War II or whatever, it was like, this is amazing. And then we recoiled against it and said, no, that's not amazing. So it's good that consumers can be particular and push the market. So actually in the U.S. right now, we, you know, butter was bashed for decades that it was killing people, it's causing heart attacks. And lately it's been like, no, it's sugar. It's not butter.
Right.
So if whichever is true, butter is all of a sudden very popular again. And we actually struggle to make enough butter. We make plenty of milk, so much milk that we export the non-fat part of it to other countries. But we tend to periodically need to import fat because Americans, we're just not making enough. That's happening right now. This fall, butter reached Chicago Mercantile Exchange commodity butter, $3.50 a pound.
I did not see that. When I saw that number, I did not believe it. I had to do a double take.
Yeah. So, but Americans, we're not going to buy our butter from India. We want all our imported butter, typically. We want it all to come from Ireland. Because those are pastured cows. Ireland, the way they dairy in Ireland is never gets very hot and never gets very cold. So the grass grows, even though they're north of us, they don't really have snow in the winter. Mm-hmm. They just, it gets really dark because further north you are more. But the pastures live year round. And so they have a grass-based dairy industry and they make really nice butter. It's called Kerry, we're making a full circle.
Yep, we went full circle. Nice.
The county of Kerry, it's a county in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And it's not, Kerry Gold is a very popular butter. You have to pay more for it than American butter. Mm. But it, when you cut a stick, if it's 72 degrees in your room, it'll be softer. However, the fats are developed in the rumen of the cow. If you've ever learned about fats, you have fats and oils and they all have different melting points. Mm-hmm. Well, the fat of a cow is in a range, but it's not all in the same point. Hmm. And so Irish butter is yellower and softer than its American cousin. And we like that. We like the yellow and we like the soft. Because actually that was one of the big pluses for old days in margarine is it would cut easier than your butter.
Mm.
If you kept your house pretty cool or you just pulled it out of the refrigerator, the butter was harder than the consumer would really want.
I can remember my grandmother doing that, taking it out. Like we'd be using it an hour later. She'd take an hour before or whatever to let it sit.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
She probably liked Kerrygold.
She might have, yes, she might have.
I
have really been enjoying this conversation, Matt. Thank you so much for joining us again and for hanging out with us talking about this. I have to let the audience know, Matt and I come into this and we're like, well, what should we talk about today? I didn't know that we'd create a whole show out of this. I didn't know that we were going to talk the whole time
I
about
saw
it.
You looking at your watch. It happened.
It was very cool. It was very, okay. I know that I could, I'm not alone. I learned some stuff from you today. I always appreciate that. Always interesting to hear not only certain factors and certain details about this industry, but the behind the scenes, if you will, or again, from the mouth of a farmer, from somebody who not only knows their stuff, but cares. You're invested in this. This is your life. This is who you are. This is a big part of you and everything. So to be able to hear this information from you, it has extra weight to it, and I appreciate that.
Well, just ask me about the different traits of butter anytime. We'll go another hour.
We can fill another hour out of that, yeah. appreciate that, Matt. I know that we talked about a lot today, though, too, and there might be some follow-up questions from our audience out there. If people want to reach you, they have follow-up questions about some of the things we've talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yes, so I am in the courthouse. Actually, I split my time between Neillsville and Wisconsin Rapids. The Extension Office has a website. So I tell you to Google it, Wood County UW Extension, University of Wisconsin-Madison Extension. Mm-hmm. We have our phone numbers on there. We have our emails on there. So
great way to connect with you and the rest of our friends at Extension. And do me a favor, please say hi to your team over there at Extension. And again, appreciate your pitch hitting, filling in today, Matt. Thanks for the time.
No problem.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Monica Ricks. Israeli airstrikes are still pummeling Hamas positions throughout Gaza, driving up the already devastating death toll there. CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb has more from East Jerusalem.
Over the past 24 hours, 678 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli strikes, mostly women and children.
including at the northern Jabalia refugee camp, as rescuers desperately try to pull the youngest survivors from under the rubble.
About 3,800 people have now died in Gaza, more than 1,400 in Israel. We've also learned Hamas now has 203 hostages, including Americans. Hadass Calderon says her kids are among them.
I pray and I beg in and I ask even Hamas, this moment you have the opportunity to show that you still have humanity.
Humanitarian aid is ready to go at Egypt's border, but CBS's Chris Livesay tells us there is concern it could fall into Hamas hands.
You can look at this initial 20 trucks as sort of taste testing what's on offer, because there are more than 100 trucks idling on the Egyptian side of the border. But Israel is very apprehensive. All it takes is Hamas to confiscate one of these trucks.
President Biden is expected to address the war later tonight from the White House. On Capitol Hill, Jim Jordan says the idea to elevate pro tem House Speaker Patrick McHenry is dead.